The episode you're about to listen to is from an unreleased episode of an earlier incarnation of the Away Team. These were Adam and I's first impressions of Star Trek Discovery back in 2017. There may be issues with events and future events within the show, but this hasn't been heard since it was deleted from the internet back in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
Welcome to The Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist.
All right, welcome everybody to another Away Team mini-sode. For Star Trek Discovery. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
All right, so we are recapping and reviewing episode 4. The butcher's knife cares not for the lamb's cry. Seriously, dude, they need to fucking shorten these titles. I mean,
they do need to calm down with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it was like pretty soon you're going to see like a passage from Genesis in there. It's going to be like the name of the title. It's going to be chapter and verse. You're going to be like, okay, dude, you need to calm down because it's making it harder to put like recap episodes and actually use the title.
Like, look, you're trying too hard now. You know what I mean? Like, just settle it down.
This episode kind of left me a little meh. You know, I mean, it only did that way was because of the fact of how well episode 3 was.
I think this episode is what I call a reveal episode, and I was talking to Steve about this previously.
And I fell asleep during part of
shut up. It reveals a lot of key points of the plot, but they kind of just like, here, look at this. Okay, the episode's over. Like, right. They could have did it a better way where it was a little more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much get the reason why the spore drive thing is never a thing after this, you know, because when I'm watching, I'm like, okay, that's why, you know, that's why that happened. You know, they kind of show it in use. And then you got a whole Klingon subplot going on in this one. And
the
then
Klingon
you
subplot wasn't bad, though.
No, the Klingon subplot was interesting because
it
was
predictable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was, if you know any, like if you're watching the show and you've never watched Star Trek before, you don't know much about it, it's not predictable. But if you know anything about Star Trek, it was predictable. You pretty much saw it coming.
I even kind of think that outside of the fact that, you know, if you know, sorry, it kind of utilized essential, just basically tropes, you know, I don't think there was anything really like stunningly like, oh shit, that was new. And I think that's probably why it was a little meh to me, was because of the fact that everything kind of seemed I know where this is going. I think it kind of, some of it took a little bit of
by numbers.
Yeah, it took a little of this, the steam that had built up from episode 3, which I was like, oh, okay. And then it was kind of, oh, all right, you know, it's like when you find out how hot dogs are made, you really kind of don't want to know, but you know, you find out anyway. Plus, we also got a yard death in this episode.
You know what? I'm gonna give him a pass for that quick and kind of dumb death, because I do not like that character at all, and she really deserved it. Like, she was being a fucking tool.
But the thing, that's the real thing. It was done in a way that was kind of like, okay, what was the character's whole point? Even being on there, it was kind of like, oh yeah, we have this whole cool idea, and then you wrote the episode that she was on, which was only episode 3, and then it was kind of like, oh, we don't really have anything to do for her, so let's just get rid of her in episode 4. You know, there was really then what was the point of that character at all? Just to show that, you know, Michael, you know, she's right, or that she's more of the human option. That just kind of seemed pointless. It was kind of a pointless death. Although the internet has been going, really? So the second major death in the series is another woman of color?
No one cares. So I'm sorry. Like, when you stop caring about that, racism will die. It's just a character in a fucking TV show. It doesn't matter what color she is.
So the basic plot of the episode is we find out the whole reason for the explanation for the spore drive and who that creature was that they ran into in episode 3. Now, the explanation for the spore drive, okay, kind of made more sense, but it just kind of seemed a little, okay, so you grew up this whole, air quotes, mushroom, field, and you needed this creature to actually kind of harness that.
In typical Star Trek fashion, the fans have fleshed it out. Bruh, I found a video that explains the spore drive with quantum entanglement. And it was actually, what's sad is I watched it and I was silent the whole time. And then after I went, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
But
on your fan base.
But, with Michael's whole involvement in this episode, it was just basically just saying that, no, this creature's not, this creature is not malevolent. It's, it's benevolent, and it most likely is scared, and basically showing that, well, we technically should really be more scientists than weapon builders. And for a Vulcan, I kind of thought Michael is getting a little more good at deception, because in a lot of instances, I think Michael would have probably been better served if she had just said, I want to try something. Can you help me conduct the test? Not bring somebody down because you're going to fake apologize to them. Because what point of it was serving Vulcan? Well, logically, it was logical to lie. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, as we know, she's human.
I get that. But it's like, oh, so she can manipulate how she does things through the logic of Vulcan?
Yeah. Through the magic of science.
I mean, I didn't really care that much for Michael in this episode. I mean, it was just kind of showing, look how valuable she is, and she saved the ship or whatever. She basically pulled a Wesley in this episode. But I didn't really care that much for her in this episode after having such a cool buildup in the last one. But the one character that I actually kind of dug a little more was the engineer.
Yeah. Fleshed him out a little bit in this episode.
Yeah. And I liked how he butted heads with the captain.
Butted heads with his console. That was funny.
Did you see how fucking deformed his nose was? I was like,
his nose was fucked up.
Yeah.
But you know what? I respected him. I respect him a lot more now. He's not just a whiny dude in engineering. Like, he's trying to stand for his principles.
Right.
But it's one of those situations, and Star Trek has always done this, where you have two people arguing dramatically different sides of the same point, but they're both right.
Yeah.
And there's really no easy answer. The captain saying, we're in the middle of a war. We don't have time to just be scientists. And the guy's like, I didn't sign up for that. This science is important. It's like too fucking bad. Like, you need to find a compromise or just do what the captain says.
Right.
And he walked off like he did what he was told to do, but you could tell he wasn't feeling it.
He wasn't about that life. That's really kind of what it came down to. Plus, in the last episode, he lost his, I don't know, companion, friend. I don't know what that, they kind of never really fleshed out.
Well, they just seemed like competitive colleagues, really, because they were doing the same thing.
Right.
Just on different ships.
And so it was interesting in that aspect of him doing it. And then the whole, what I really liked was when they introduced that creature to their little forest, and it started going in with the trees and stuff like that. And they said it's like communicating. And he's like, oh, I want to communicate with my mushrooms. I was like,
right.
So it was instances like that where I was just kind of like, okay, you know, there were some good ones. The rescuing that whole trope of, oh, we need to get this done because there are Federation lives at stake. Kind of was like, oh, we got to do this again, you know, because it's always
like it's a common trope
and a common Star Trek trope.
A common Star Trek, because it's easy to agree with. Like, you're like, well, yeah, I guess, you know, innocent lives are in danger and right. You're Federation people. So, of course, you're going to go help. So it's just easy. It kind of pushes you along in the story. But yeah, they do it a lot.
Yeah.
In Star Trek. But I mean, whatever.
But it's always like, we need to get this this medicine that this one planet is the only planet that has it, because all these Federation people are dying.
And it's full of racially insensitive people.
Right. You know,
next generation.
And the main dude wants to make Yar his wife, and it's just getting weird, and we're going to try to, you know, say that they're very much like all these different races on Earth, except the obvious one.
Yeah. Right.
So,
you know, they're a lot like the Indonesians. Stop it. You know what they look like.
You know the Eskimo tribe in the northern Yukon? Shut right. up. Just shut right. up.
You know, the Ho-Ho-Kong. It's like you know, need to stop.
There is a tribe in Sweden. Okay, now you're just making shit up.
You know,
code of honor in case those of you that are trying to
reference. Horrible episode.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say is, and yes, it was predictable, but I did like the Klingon subplot. I like what they're doing here with the Klingons. They're not just making the Klingons just all evil enemies.
Well,
they're fleshing them out. Exactly. They're fleshing them out. They're kind of showing the dynamic of a real war, where it's not necessarily there's a bad guy and a good guy. They each have their own agendas. And the backstab, it was quickly done. I will say that it could have been. I think that should have spanned maybe two episodes.
Yeah.
Not just like that.
And the way that chick was like, yeah, I'm with you. I have your back. I'm with you. And then goes over and goes, yeah, I'm with you too. I'm with you. And then switches sides. Right. You're like, wow, what the fuck?
Took a bite of that chicken. I was like, what the fuck? But I kind of called that she was playing a game anyway.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it's like,
cause that dude is fucking ugly. I'm just saying.
But that's the problem though. It's like, the problem with this episode is they fucked up my what I'm focusing on. Now I more want to see what happens with the guy, the Klingon guy. Like, I'm more interested in that right now. I'm like, well, yeah. Oh shit. Like, is he going to get his followers back? How's he going to do this?
Right.
You know, and I'm less interested about Michael. And I will say I actually liked Michael a little bit more in this one. I think she got a little bit. Yes, they were forcing it down our throat, kind of trying to say Michael's not a bad person. I already knew that,
right?
You know, but she did have a little bit more empathy in this episode. It wasn't so cold and calculated. There was I did like a little scene where she got the last will and testament from the captain.
Yeah, and they got the telescope.
Hitch in the feels, right?
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And yeah, so I liked how when she got the case, and then she put her hand on it, and then it's like, do you accept the last will and testament of Captain? What was her name?
I can't remember.
Like Gregoria or something like that. Also, she like jumps back and like takes it and does what you like, do fuck. When you see like when you see something kind of scary in a drawer, you throw things back in it and close it like it's gonna go away.
Right. I can't see it, so it's not here. Yeah.
Like she jumps away from them and then slides it under her bed. Like okay, it doesn't exist anymore.
You know, one thing that has grown on me, and I didn't like it at first, and it was more because it was different. Was
I told you gotta get the doctor to check that out.
Well, yeah. The computer voice. So the computer voice isn't the one I'm used to from Star Trek.
I didn't even really care.
Oh, I noticed that silly shit. Well, I like Mar-Jale it. You
Bennett
heard it
is
more.
Dead.
Well, I know, but
she was.
Remind me of sad shit. I'm just saying. but the voice is very. It's like a soothing computer voice, like red alert.
Yeah.
Red alert, you know, and I kind of, I don't know, maybe
alert.
Black alert. Black alert. It's fucking, it sounds like
your
something
door is ajar.
Right. It sounds like something I'd install on my computer in 1998, you know, to be super
You've
geeky.
You got mail.
But I kind of dig it. I think I've gotten used to it now because I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, no, that is not correct. Like, I just didn't like it.
I'm kind of digging on Captain Lorca.
Yeah.
Because
he's still something dark going on.
There's still something dark going on. But the thing is that he is a dick. Like, you know, it's almost to the point to where they're trying to say you're not supposed to really like him. But at the same time, you're like, yeah, but he's kind of justified in this whole thing.
Like, I think he's going to be one of those dudes that he's going to be found out that he's doing something really bad, but he's doing it for the right reasons. Like right. One of those dudes, you know yeah. what I mean? Because he was supposed to
be the chosen one.
Right. He is a fucking hard ass, though. Like, oh, yeah. He was having them run a battle simulation and they lost.
Yeah.
And then he goes, do it again.
We right. all died.
And then he's like, do it again. And he said something like, do it until you get it right. Yeah. And then, but then he also said he was walking with Michael and he goes, we're at war and I'm full of a ship full of wide eyed explorers.
Right.
You know, so well, he's recognizing. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the weird thing. He's on a science vessel, but this motherfucker is about warfare.
I saw some
100%.
I saw some something online that said, is it possible that they might be bringing up Section 32?
I really think they are.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think they are. Because they even mentioned
that in the rebooted Star Trek. They already started mentioning that because supposedly it was supposed to have been created even like, was it before the time of Enterprise?
Dude, you Section know? 32 exists right now.
Yeah.
There's always a shadow arm. You know what I mean? And even if they don't say Section 30, Discovery's already a Section 32 ship.
Yeah.
Because there's shit going on that not everybody knows. And there's people with those black badges and shit yeah. like that. Like, that's Section 32. Like, and is it 32 or 31? I say Section 32 and I feel like I'm getting it wrong.
Well, Adam will check on the Google.
Oh, don't worry. it's Section 31.
Oh, Section 31. Okay.
I apologize.
Don't prevent those tweets and emails from coming in. But yeah, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to discuss about this episode because the episode is actually pretty streamlined, you know?
Now, real quick, I do want to say before we part... the dopest part of this entire episode was that fucking spore jump to the base that they had to go. That was visually it was stunning as fuck.
Right.
I'm really digging that whole twist and spinning shit.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. The way the saucer section does that spin, I was like, oh, okay. That's yeah. kind of cool. I was like, all right. I go, and I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, thank God for inertial dampeners because people be sicker than shit.
By the way, if you don't know,
black.
If you don't know, that is what an inertial dampener does.
Right.
So it dampens the inertia.
Right.
I actually told someone that. They're like, what's an inertial dampener? And I go, it dampens inertia, dumbass. Like, literally, if you listen to most things in Star Trek, the answer's in the word.
Yeah, you could figure it out. It's yeah. like, yeah, you know when the ship goes tumbling in space? Yeah, that's why nobody goes rolling all over the place.
Because the inertial dampeners haven't failed yet.
but yeah, I did like the way that was sick. Like the way the saucer section started spinning. I was like, oh shit. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm digging that. So still the pet peeve is still holograms. Really? We don't have holograms in the 21st century.
Oh, she even had a mirror now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That holographic mirror. I was
which
like,
was dope.
Yeah.
But
to me, the problem with a lot of the technology is that it feels very much 24th century. Like it feels yeah. like it should be in next gen.
Because I've watched episodes where Diana Troy is brushing her hair in the mirror.
Right.
You know, she's not with a hologram. So it's just odd. And you can't the hologram thing you can't argue away as, oh, it's on a top secret Discovery ship. No, because it was on the other ship too.
Right.
You know, so that is something they're trying to sneak in to look cool.
Right.
And I think we're just going to have to get used to it because they're doing it every fucking episode because it's so cool.
But remember, you know, this takes place 10 years before the voyages of the Enterprise. Like, no, it doesn't. Okay.
That's a major thing that bugs me, too, is since it's supposed to be before Enterprise, look at the panels that they're using. Those are very 24th century.
A lot of it is.
The original Enterprise had buttons and switches mm-hmm. on it, and I would have been totally okay if they put buttons and switches on that ship, because that leads to the coolest sound effects.
That's right.
It's fucking so dope.
So next week's episode, we will definitely be back for next week's episode. We're going to try to get these out midweek so it allows people time to see them and then to listen and then, you know, catch up before the next episode. But yeah, so far, the only thing that really kind of left me is that Klingon subplot actually really seems very interesting. And I'm curious to see, you know, this guy's meant to be basically, you know, kind of lead. You know, so it's like kind of like, how's he going to get there?
And to be honest,
he unites the Klingon parties and fucking Gowron pops up.
I mean, he's actually.
We do not forgive.
Right. I am a Klingon.
I love Gowron. He's so awesome.
No, but the you have to think of, I can't remember his name, but the Klingon dude. He's a bad guy now, but in the grand scheme of history, he really isn't.
No.
Because he unifies the 24 houses. He has to be the one that unifies the 24 houses.
Right.
And being that they're unified, they then can be at peace with the Federation later on.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting watch. And it actually is more interesting because I know the future.
Right.
So it's like you're putting puzzle pieces together. You know?
Right, you're trying to figure out how it pieces in there. The downside, though, is that sometimes because it being a Trek show, you know, you kind of can be ahead of the show, and that's always the downside. You know, yeah. It sucks when you're ahead of the show and you've never seen the episode before. So all right, so that is it for this week's mini-sode. We will be back next week when the new episode airs. Also, be sure to check out our regular Away Team podcast on Friday. Q Who is the episode, and we will be talking about the Federation's first experience with the Borg. I always liked it when Picard said it, the Borg.
The Borg. We've engaged the Borg.
Sounds Swedish.
Yeah, I think I bought a Borg at IKEA. A few weeks ago. Nice table, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I got this lamp. It said Locutus on it, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what I'm doing, you have two ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining through either PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. Check the show notes for details and links. Or two, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. That will make the algorithm gods, you know, promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks4, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, or TikTok under @thelazygeeks, all one word. If you're old school, you can email us at thelazygeeksnetwork@gmail.com. Want to read some news, blogs, or just some of my random musings? Check out the blog at thelazygeeks4.wordpress.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas. One to beam up.